away. What time is it? The meeting had begun early in the morning. Be sunset in an hour. Shit. A whole day shot then. Tide helped me stay standing. I didn't shake him off. I looked for food. Food always helped after a long ghost walk with smoke. This was not the same. At least cold, tough, burnt mutton didn't help, and there was nothing else available. What I wanted was something alcoholic. A few amateurs had arisen to take One Eye's place. Best known were Willow Swan and Cordy Mather, who'd stayed around despite being free to go back north. Cordy no longer had that fire in his belly where the Roddy Show was concerned, but their product was no good. And if I wanted some, I had to acquire it through intermediaries, since we all had to pretend to observe the rules. But I had a suspicion of late about where One Eye could have hidden his manufacturing equipment. There was a small reinforced cubby in my old dugout where I'd kept the annals and the odd private item. It had survived disasters unscathed. Mother Goda had helped build it. We climbed up out of Croker's dugout, me still wobble-kneed and griping. I wish the hell he'd move into the fucking fortress. The experimentation was all over, but our crowd was still scattered through the hills roughing it. An hour of light remained. Where is everybody? I didn't see a soul closer than the ruins of Kialune. That gave me a little shock of fright. Had I returned to the world I left when the seizure took me? Was I caught in another lair of dream? They all went away, even the guards. Tide repeated the news as though he was talking to someone both deaf and dense. Else I could not have entered the Liberator's shelter. It had been a while since anybody called the old man that. I take it Uncle Doge went to keep an eye on them? Tide didn't reply. I headed for my former home. Compared to the bunker we moved to over there, this dump was a palace. Lady and the old man had turned my palace into a prison. The downhill side entrance that we put in for Mother Goda and Uncle Doge now opened into an exercise area, fenced with captured spears. Lisa Bowalk lay in a cage there, muzzle on paws, exposed to the elements, dully resigned. The Prabhrindra draw paced, avoiding glittering spear points and the reach of the shapeshifter's claws. He seemed patient, counting his condition only a temporary setback. Neither Long Shadow, Howler, nor Narayan Singh were outside. Singh's absence wasn't surprising. He was punished if he ventured into the light. But the former Shadow Master was not, and he hated the darkness inside. He feared what might be lurking there. The poor old boy had lost all his self-confidence. He spent most of his time shivering, rocking, and whimpering to himself. He was losing weight, which was hard to believe. The stench was awful. Those people had no friends now. They lived worse than animals in the cruelest zoo or feedlot. Passers-by were encouraged to torment Long Shadow and the living saint of the deceivers. Howler hadn't earned his final standing on Lady Shitlist. He was treated with indifference, yet fed the best table scraps. Smoke would be inside somewhere, too. He and the prince were treated best. Bowalk was fed and otherwise ignored, as long as she behaved. A sign that could be read by only a few actually insisted that the Prabhrindra Dra was an honored guest. Somebody's little joke. A good storm would